It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a great Monday. Hope your weekend was outstanding. Thank you so much for being here. I am your host, Colbert. However you are tuned in, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. I do appreciate your attendance. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, 1650 102.3 The Fan. You'll be all set and ready to go. You also got to visit the all-new website, 1650thefan.com. A lot of the information that you get to lead the show off during area sports news and scores finds its way onto the website, usually in the morning. So if you're one of those and you want it all and you want it now, bookmark it and make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web, 1650thefan.com. It's also where you get the podcast of this show. So if you miss an interview and want to go back and listen on demand, you absolutely can at the website. So check it out, 1650thefan.com. If you want to dial me up, you can. Join in that way with any questions or comments from your sports weekend. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. If you'd rather email, you can do that. We have the technology. Email address is cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, my weekend highlighted by a trip to the capital city of Des Moines to watch UNI Drake and provide some coverage for my other employer, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And that four-hour round trip was well worth it, folks. If you did not watch this game, you missed one hell of a college basketball game, as there were 13 lead changes and 40 combined fouls. Now, as much as I think maybe some UNI fans would like to point the finger at Drake, a pretty even split on the fouls, 22-18. Drake fans, I think, just wanted to hear themselves. Like, a couple things I wanted to address. So, obviously, I'm tweeting some during the game. I'm seeing kind of the mood of the room, the non-existent room of Drake fans, UNI fans, Valley fans, college basketball fans that are all participating on social media in what's happening in front of all of our eyes. And, you know, I see some people calling out Drake fans. Oh, it might be the most uneducated, you know, basketball fan base in the country. It's like, here's the thing. There's a good student section at Knapp Center, at least for these games. There has been in recent years since Drake hired Darren DeVries, and he's, you know, done so many great things with the program. There's always a great student section. They're loud, and a student section doesn't care if the ref got the call right or wrong. If it goes against their team, he got it wrong. That's the way they see it, and they're not going to miss an opportunity, nor would I if you put me back in that situation. Now, I'd probably turn to my buddy I was at the game with, and after I got done booing or perhaps saying some things to the Zebras, and go, yeah, that actually wasn't a bad call, but hey, we got to do our part here. So I wanted to put that out there. Also, too, I will say this, though. I feel like the Drake Bulldogs, with as old of a roster that they have, and if I'm not mistaken, it's the oldest roster in college basketball. You factor in the COVID year, the fact that some of their guys have gotten medical red shirts on top of traditional red shirts, the old transfer sit-out red shirt, right? That I think these guys have this mental approach where they're like, well, let's just be handsy. Let's be really aggressive defensively and putting our hand in the guy's back or putting it on his hip or, you know, getting that slap at the basketball. If we hit his hand or hit his elbow, so be it. Let's just do that nonstop. The referees are not going to call a foul. I mean, think about it, right? The referees are not going to call a foul every time down the floor. They're just not. And I think it makes me think of how, like, I've always watched baseball, a lot of baseball. And you get into college, I played baseball all throughout high school, pitched, played middle infield, and you think at like 22, 23, you're graduating, getting out of college, and you've done all that studying, and you've watched a whole bunch more baseball while not playing it. Maybe you've read some books about baseball, and you're like, man, if I just had a 22-year-old brain when I was 16 playing baseball, even though I wasn't that great of an athlete or wasn't incredibly talented, which obviously, I mean, that's why I'm talking into this microphone. But, I mean, that would be such a dangerous weapon. And I think to a degree, that's what this Drake team has going for them. Just mental maturity and kind of like a mental approach that no other team can match. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that they really do play a hands-on style of defense. It's the closest thing I've seen. It might actually even be more intense, Panther fans, any Valley fans out there, than what Wichita State did back in the day when that scumbag Greg Marshall was there and they were doing the whole play angry thing. Like, those guys got away with a lot. And, hey, you got to play the game. Game within the game, right? And I tweeted out Saturday night while that was going on that, you know, I see a decent amount of Valley basketball. You know, I'll pop a game onto TV2 that's not you and I and watch and check in on teams. Usually I like to try to find a team that you and I is going to be playing in an upcoming game, right? And I watch a decent amount of Big 12 and Big 10 basketball, mostly Iowa State and Iowa. But by nature of that, usually see most teams and watch some other games as well. I have not seen, for me, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but with what I watch, I have not seen a more physical game, a more physical matchup, because it was that way when Drake was here in Cedar Falls a little over two weeks ago now. Have not seen a more physical matchup. And It was really something to watch. And Noah Carter absolutely balled out. That kid is just an ascending star in the Missouri Valley. He's making an incredible case to be a first-team All-MVC guy after beginning the season not even as a starter. I tweeted out, you can go check it out, at Real Colbert, his numbers in conference play, they're really good. And he scores a game-high 23 in that win at Drake, 74-69 in overtime. Bowen Bourne scored 7 points, but that kid's defense this season has just been outstanding. From what it was as a freshman to now, I had to mention that today on the show. And Tywan Pickford seems like he's found the fountain of youth this past week. He grabbed 12 rebounds in that win, 4 of them offensive, scored 8 points, some really key layups he got to go in the second half of that win, and it's like his legs look as fresh as I can remember them at any point over the last few seasons. And Trey Burhau is also playing great basketball. He was the only other Panther to score in double figures with 16. So we'll hear audio from UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson in the third segment of today's show. UNI had their noon presser today, so I was there asking Jake all the hard hitters, and I'll get you as much audio from him as I can But yeah, I wanted to talk about that game. And I tell you what, Tucker DeVries, I don't think many Panther fans like Tucker DeVries right now, because that kid plays with an edge, and maybe, and then some, might be a fair characterization. But he, if he sticks around Drake and his dad for that matter, and I'm knocking on wood for you, Drake fans, I like Darren DeVries, and it's awesome that he's a Drake. If Tucker DeVries plays 4 years in the Valley, I mean, this kid's going to break all sorts of records. He is incredibly talented, and he's just raw because he's a freshman. He's only going to get better, obviously, but just great basketball. Like, and I even told somebody, and I'm getting long here, but I even told somebody after that game, that was a night inside an arena that was packed, and it was just nonstop dramatic basketball, and it was good for your college basketball soul. You know, with all this crap we've been through, right? So that was not lost on me either. All right, Monday edition of Cole & Company, well underway. And area sports news and scores, I'll grab the stack here in just a moment. John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network joins us in the next segment. Talk about a tough week for the Cyclones, but I feel like the next 3 weeks they can make some hay. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We dive into it with John in the next segment. And then, as I mentioned, after John, we'll get the Ben Jacobson audio. So, all right, let's dive in here. Area sports news and scores. The road to Wells Fargo got underway Saturday in high school wrestling as sectional action took place in classes 1A and 2A. Some of the area highlights included in 2A, Independence winning the sectional meet it hosted. The Mustangs finished with 225 points, qualified 9 wrestlers for districts. Union LaPorte City finished 3rd as a team at the Independence sectional, moves 7 wrestlers on to districts. In 1A, defending state champs Don Bosco dominated the field at the sectional in Brooklyn. Don's collected 321 team points, advanced all 14 wrestlers to districts. Wapsie Valley took first at the sectional held at Starmont. The Warriors scored 243 points as a team and qualified 8 wrestlers. Nashua Plainfield took first in the team score at the sectional held at North Butler. The Huskies won with 240 points, advanced 8 wrestlers. Also at the North Butler sectional, Waterloo Columbus qualified 4 wrestlers for districts, including defending state champion Max Magana at 160. Regional dual wrestling action involving classes 1A and 2A schools is going to take place tomorrow across the state. The winners of each regional duel advance to the state duel tournament on Friday the 16th at Wells Fargo Arena. In area meets in 2A, Independence takes on the winner of Williamsburg versus Ballard. And in 1A, Don Bosco will go against the winner of Wapsie Valley versus Columbus. And at Nashua Plainfield, NP is going to face the winner of the duel between Central Springs and MFL Marmac. Class 3A regional duels take place on Wednesday. Tonight in Metro Sports, it's a light schedule. The only game on the docket, the Waterloo Columbus girls are hosting 8th-ranked Jessup. That one tips off at 6:15. The district and sub-state boys basketball pairings for 1A and 2A have been released. 3A and 4A brackets are going to be available following seeding meetings this weekend. 1A preliminary round games start this Friday, and then first round games in 1A and 2A begin a week from today on the 14th. Opening round sub-state games for 3A and 4A tip off on Monday, February 21st, and you can find area brackets of interest online at 1650thefan.com. The UNI basketball team, as I spoke a lot about already, they are riding high right now after that overtime win against Drake. They play Wednesday night against Southern Illinois. You'll hear some audio from Coach Jake on today's show about that matchup against the Salukis, who have the league's best defense. The UNI women's basketball team pushed its winning streak to 5 games, crushing Valpo 68-38 yesterday at McLeod Center. UNI held the Beacons to just 13 first-half points as the Panthers built a 21-point lead at the break. They're now 8-2 in the Missouri Valley, and they conclude a 4-game homestand tomorrow night when they host Evansville. The Iowa basketball team rallied to defeat Minnesota 71-59 yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Gophers led 38-34 at halftime, and as I mentioned, the Hawkeyes rally. Keegan Murray had another big game, 24 points, 15 rebounds. No Fran McCaffrey for the Hawks yesterday. He was in COVID protocol. Iowa is now 15-7 on the year, 5-6 in the Big Ten. Fifth-ranked Michigan outscored number 21 Iowa 98-90 in women's college basketball last night. Caitlin Clark was just otherworldly, trying to will the Hawkeyes back into this game. She scored a career-high 46 points and had 10 assists for a double-double as a career-high, as I mentioned. With the loss, Iowa now 15-6 overall, 9-3 in conference play. Following a pair of losses last week, Iowa State men's basketball has dropped out of this week's AP Top 25. They were ranked 20th last week, did receive 48 votes, so I think it extrapolates out to like 28th in the country, and the Hawkeyes picked up 7 votes. Auburn continues to be number one, Gonzaga is second, and Purdue is third. And those Cyclones will look to regain their shooting touch when they play at West Virginia tomorrow. Cyclones hit just 28% of their shots in that loss at Texas on Saturday that dropped them to 3-7 in the Big 12. You can hear tomorrow night's game right here on The Fan. Pregame show at 5, so no Coleman Company tomorrow. Opening tip at 6. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. When we come back, John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network joins us next on a Monday edition of Coleman Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
All Media Week is underway for Super Bowl 56, and one storyline is the two head coaches, Zach Taylor and Sean McVay. Taylor left the Rams to take over the Bengals, and now in his third year has them in the big game and said there will be no sentimentality come Sunday.
I've played against my brother 4 times. I've coached against Sean. I've coached against Matt. There's so many people in this league at this point, you know, 10 years in, that are always on the sidelines across from you. And that's just part of the game. There's no added, oh, I want to beat this guy. No, it's the Bengals playing the Rams for the Super Bowl. Our team wants to beat their team. It really has nothing to do with the relationships on the other side of the ball or across the other sidelines. This is more just about us trying to win this football game.
The Texans are reportedly finalizing a deal to name Lovie Smith their new head coach. He'd be the second minority hired after the Dolphins named Mike McDaniel their new head coach. The Packers might have been in the Super Bowl with better special teams to that end. They're hiring former Raiders interim coach Rich Bisaccia as their new special teams coach. The Warriors have the NBA second best record and current longest winning streak in the league. They look to make it 9 in a row tonight in Oklahoma City. The Suns tops at 42-10 are in Chicago. I'm Rich Jacob.
This is Zach Gelb. Catch me at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific to talk sports right here on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
The Cedar Valley sports leader is online. Visit 1650thefan.com for matchups, scores, podcasts, and more.
Cedar Falls Schools reminds you that registration for the 2022-23 preschool program is now open. Simply go to cfschools.org, click on the Parents tab, and select preschool. The Cedar Falls Schools preschool program runs from 8:45 a.m. to 1:50 p.m. every school day, and is funded by the statewide voluntary preschool grant and Head Start. Children who will be age 4 by September 15th and live within the district boundaries are eligible to participate in the program. Tuition is free, space is limited, and the district follows a first-come, first-served policy. Contact the administration office with questions at 553-2422.
At Cedar Falls Schools, we strive to provide our students with the highest quality education. We embrace change as it represents the world our students enter as they continue along life's journey. We should all be incredibly proud of our students and staff. Thanks to all of our parents, for without your continued support, we could never accomplish our goals as a district.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Denver Insurance and Grinnell Mutual want to remind you not to veer for deer. If you see a deer on the road, try to stay calm. Slow down and keep your steering wheel still. Find more tips for safe driving at grinnellmutual.com. With your steady hands and our steadfast support, you can trust in tomorrow. Contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Denver Insurance today for all your insurance needs.
Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit VSiN.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Inside of a week now before Super Bowl 56, the LA Rams, a 4.5-point favorite over the Cincinnati Bengals after opening at -4. The total has moved down slightly to 48.5 after opening at 49.5. The NHL returning from the All-Star break with two games tonight. The Maple Leafs -135 on the money line against the Hurricanes at +115, over under at 6, and the Devils +115 at the Senators at -135, the total set at 6. NBA tonight, the Bulls at home against the Suns, coming in with the best record in the NBA at 42-10. The 33-20 Bulls, a 6.5-point home underdog. The over-under set at 228.5.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 13 tonight under mainly cloudy skies, southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 40 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Mainly cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 27. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the mid-30s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 19.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole and Company. And folks, college basketball has all heated up across the country. March is just around the corner, and it's a February push for so many teams right now. So we're talking a lot of hoops today, rightfully so, on the show. And it is a Monday after all. So John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network, your Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole and Company. And it was a tough week last week for the Iowa State Cyclones. And every week in the Big 12 is tough. And last week was a great example of that, as a loss at home to Kansas last Tuesday night for the Cyclones. And Jayhawks ranked 10th and then had to go to Texas to play the 23rd-ranked Longhorns. And the offense did not travel with the Clones. They fall short 63-41 on Saturday. So, John, let's talk about that tough week that was for the Cyclones. And first, let's start off with the one that's most fresh in our memory banks, that being Saturday's loss to the Longhorns. 29% field goal percentage certainly isn't going to get it done. From everything you gathered from Coach Otzelberger, the players, what you saw take place in Austin, what's your biggest takeaway from what was a struggle of a day against Texas?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that Iowa State not only couldn't turn Texas over and take advantage of it to get some easy baskets themselves, but they also did exactly that into Texas's lap, where points off turnovers were 24-2 in favor of Texas. And so, you know, Iowa State's a team that, you know, when they beat Texas in Ames earlier this year, they won points off turnovers 26-13. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of their bread and butter. They create some offense with their defense generally. And they just weren't able to force as many live ball turnovers against Texas and get some runouts and get some easy baskets. So everything they get offensively in those situations has to come out of their half-court offense. And their half-court offense has really struggled, you know, and it especially did against a Texas team, which, you know, we have to recognize the fact that Texas is ranked number one nationally in scoring defense. They give up 55 points a game. It was the 16th time this season, you know, that they had held an opponent, I believe, under 50. And so,
wow,
you know, they're very good defensively. And so that had a lot to do with it, too. But, you know, I thought played really, really well in the first half of that game and put themselves in a position and then just didn't close the half strong. You know, they were up for 13 minutes in a row in the first half, and then they turned the ball over a few times, and it turned into Texas baskets right before halftime. Marcus Carr hit that three, and I think that really sent Texas to the locker room with momentum. Iowa State the opposite. And then in the second half, even though Iowa State 12 minutes to go, it was within two, you know, 38-36, from that point on, Texas just dominated the game. So it wasn't that Iowa State wasn't competitive for a while. They were.
Yeah.
They just couldn't sustain it down the stretch, and Isaiah Brockington cooled off, and you know, they rely so much on his offense, and some other guys are going to have to step up. You know, I think it's five of the last six games now that Jazz Coons hasn't scored. Caleb Grill didn't score in that game. Trey Jackson didn't score in that game. they need some other guys to chip in here and there. They don't have to go nuts, but, you know, 5 or 6 points from each of those guys could make a big difference for this team.
And, John, hearing you point out just how outstanding Texas has been on the defensive end of the floor this season, it makes me think, you know, the other loss of the week comes to a 10th-ranked Kansas team. Iowa State's got 16 wins. They had two last year. It feels like the time where you circle your wagons and you got to be mentally tough and weather the storm, because I have a feeling Iowa State will be better for having that sort of mental investment in themselves, because it's not like this is a bad team all of a sudden.
No, and still projected to be an NCAA tournament team, and still getting votes in the AP poll. They dropped out of the rankings, but they're basically 28th this week. So they're, you know, they're not far removed from that 10-week run of being ranked. And, you know, they can get right back there with a big road win at West Virginia and then come back home and take care of business against Kansas State. You know, it's not that far-fetched to think that they could do those two things. But they got to start correcting some things. You know, this was the biggest marginal loss for Iowa State this season. You know, they just have really struggled, you know, lately to close out games. They played well in first halves. They haven't been able to sustain it all the way to the finish line. And this is not a great come-from-behind team. I think critical tomorrow night against West Virginia is that they don't dig themselves a 12, 13-point hole and then try to come back. I mean, I do think if there's one team that you can come back against in those situations, it would be West Virginia. But I think it's really important for Iowa State that they don't do that. That they're, you think back to that win they had at Oklahoma State about a week and a half ago and how they just counterpunched every single time that Oklahoma State hit them in the mouth. And I think that's the mentality they have to take into tomorrow night. And, you know, I think the quicker they get back to doing that and, you know, sharing the basketball. They only had 5 assists in the game the other day, and it's not that they were selfish. I mean, to get an assist, somebody has to make a shot. You know, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't make shots. But, you know, I think share the basketball, play together, play for each other. I think those things are critical when you get in a little slump. And Iowa State's got to fight its way out of that right here.
John, as you look at the schedule, we get to look ahead and game this out. Players, they're focused one game at a time, obviously. But you look at this schedule, West Virginia, like we talked about, coming up tomorrow night. Then it's Kansas State, as you mentioned, as well this week on Saturday. That game's at Hilton Coliseum. The next week, you play a TCU team that I know the Cyclones felt like they should have beat at home. Then an Oklahoma team that's been good, but they've been struggling with the Big 12, just like the Cyclones have. They're gettable. And then it's West Virginia and Kansas State again. I think I speak for Cyclone fans in saying, you look at these next 3 weeks and you go, this is going to decide whether or not we play in an NCAA tournament. I mean, these are, feel like, maybe not all of them because of the strength of the Big 12, but must-win territory, I think is fair to say, is overused as that term can be, though.
Got to win your share. Got to win your share. And, you know, right now Iowa State's 3-7 in the Big 12. I think if they went 500 the rest of the way, if they went 4-4 the rest of the way, and they finished 7-11 in the Big 12, 20-11 overall after a 13-0 non-conference, with their strength of schedule, mm-hmm. with who they've beaten, with how they don't have any bad losses, really, when you look at the teams they've lost to. It's not like they lost to a, you know, a Kennesaw State or something. And so I think 7-11 would get them in the discussion for the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure it would put them in, but I think they'd certainly be in that conversation. So that's 4-4 the rest of the way. You go 5-3 the rest of the way, I think you're absolutely in at 8-10 in the conference. But, you know, if you're 7-11, then you might have a little pressure on you going down to Kansas City to at least win one game.
Yeah.
But I think that the fact that Iowa State went 13-0 in the non-conference, beat Xavier, beat Iowa, won at Creighton, beat Memphis, you know, had some good wins, beat Missouri, I think some of those things will help them as their case is being made for the NCAA tournament committee. The committee does not just look at your conference record. That's really not a huge factor in what they do. They look at your overall body of work, and the fact that Iowa State went 13-0 in the non-conference is really going to help them, give them a little bit more wiggle room. But I agree with you, Cole. They got to win their share of these games, and there are some games there that are very winnable. You got to go do it, and if they can do that, I think they'll be in great shape to make the tournament. And man, would that be a phenomenal story in TJ's first year? Even even the NIT would be a great story given where this team was a year ago. But still, after you got up in those rankings, you were ranked 10 straight weeks, you want to make that NCAA tournament, and I think that's still out there for this basketball team.
A few more minutes here with John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Follow John on Twitter at JW Cyclones TV, and you'll hear it tomorrow night right here on The Fan. Pregame will start at 5, so no Cole & Company tomorrow night as the Iowa State Cyclones are in Morgantown to take on West Virginia. First matchup against the Mountaineers this season, John, and as the Big 12 would obviously brag about, it's not your typical last-place opponent. You think of a last-place opponent, you think that's an easy W. Those don't exist in the Big 12. With that in mind, what can you tell us about this West Virginia team?
Well, they were without their top player, Taz Sherman, who's the second-leading scorer in the Big 12 last weekend against Oklahoma, Texas Tech. And they lost a seven-point game on their home floor. They've lost seven in a row right now. Getting Sherman back will definitely help. They took Baylor right to the wire, had a great chance to beat them with Sherman healthy, and then he got hurt in that game, got a concussion, and has not come back yet. I don't know what his availability will be tomorrow night. I assume he's playing. If he does, it's a huge difference maker for West Virginia. But we just talked, Cole, about Iowa State's struggle shooting the basketball. So Iowa State shot 25% in the second half of that loss. The other day, they were 6-24 from the floor in the second half of that loss to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia went 4-32 in the second half of their loss to Texas Tech. They shot 12%. Now, is Texas Tech great defensively? Absolutely, but 12%, Coach. Ooh-ee. So you know this is one where both teams are struggling offensively. They have two of the premier scorers in the league, the number two and three scorers in the league, and Taz Sherman and Isaiah Brockington. Can one of those guys go off for their respective teams? If they can, puts that team in a great position to win. But I think Iowa State, you know, this is not your typical West Virginia team where they're just plus 11, plus 12 rebounding margin. In fact, they're down toward the bottom of the Big 12 in rebounding margin. It's very unlike many of Bob Huggins' past teams. They don't have the Javon Carters and do the full court press Virginia thing either. So they're hard nosed. There's no doubt they're tough. They play hard. They're a team that is projected to be kind of on the bubble for the NCAA tournament, maybe just on the wrong side of the bubble, given how much they've struggled lately. But, you know, you've got to go out tough them on their home court. And both these teams kind of hang their hat on that toughness label. And that's what this is going to be. This is going to be an absolute rock fight. And, you know, the team still standing at the end will get the W, but neither one of them might be standing by the time it's over with.
And just real quick, John, to wrap it up, I wanted to circle back on the offensive struggles for the Cyclones. And I think it's important to point out once again just how good Texas is defensively. But do you feel like maybe Isaiah Brockington allowed himself to press a little bit in that game against Texas? And do you think maybe it's incumbent upon some of his teammates to kind of go out of their way to take some of the pressure off of him and maybe go hunt a shot that they necessarily wouldn't, just given kind of how things have played out recently in the half court?
Well, I don't think Isaiah forced anything. I really don't feel that way. I know he's taken, I think, something like 45 shots in the last two games. He made about 14 of them. But he's still shooting a great percentage for the season. And he doesn't really force anything. He takes good shots within the flow of the offense. I do think that his legs are a little bit weary right now. They play a lot of minutes. They play hard, you know, and he's been the go-to guy and the catalyst, and I just think he hasn't had quite the energy in his verticality to get that shot off in these last couple of games. And hopefully he can get rejuvenated here tomorrow night. I don't think there's anything at all pressing or selfish or anything like that in what Isaiah's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's incumbent on some other guys to step up and make some shots, though, or at least take them, you know. And Jazz Coons passed up a wide-open three. Jazz has to take that shot. He's a great three-point shooter. It was late in the shot clock. He caught it wide open, passed it off. He needs to take that shot. And you know, some other guys, Caleb Grill will shoot him when he gets him, but he's got to get open. They've got to get him open. They've got to get him some looks. Robert Jones or George Condit, they need to get some offense out of one of those guys, Tristan Anaruna. There has to be some other guys that can step up and at least get close to double-digit scoring. If they have three or four or five guys do that, then if Brockington gets his 17, 18 points, Iowa State will be just fine. But you don't want to depend on him to get 30. And so I think some other guys really need to step up, and they need to do it as a team.
John, I know you'll be in the air traveling to Morgantown, but what can you tell us about the Cyclones Coach's Corner tonight?
Yeah, we've got Brent Bloom and Noah Wolf hosting the show tonight. So T.J. Otzelberger and myself will not be there. We're going to have Bill Fenley on at the beginning of the show. His team's ranked ninth in the nation. They're leading the Big 12 Conference. They're really flying kind of under the radar, maybe even within our state borders, how good they've been and what they've done. And so a great, great story there. And then Jamie Pollard could be along in the last 45 minutes. There's so many positive things going on in Iowa State athletics right now, and I know Jamie will look forward to talking about those things, including wrestling, which is having a great, great season. So looking forward to the show tonight. I'll be trying to listen from Morgantown.
Sounds great, John. Great stuff as always, and we'll catch up again next week.
All right, thanks for having me, Cole.
All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports and Todd Kim coming up on the other side of the break. We'll talk UNI men's basketball. Audio from UNI coach Ben Jacobson next. This is a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim.
Presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. We are all Caesars.
Two teams desperate for a victory collide in Morgantown tomorrow night when Iowa State visits West Virginia. The Cyclones are 3-7 in the Big 12, while the Mountaineers are 2-7. ISU coach T.J. Otzelberger says he's not concerned about how the outcome of the game may affect their NCAA tournament resume.
Well, right now we're focused on, you know, let's try to be the team that we know we need to be in Morgantown tomorrow night, and let's come out with a win and then go from there.
The Cyclones have dropped out of the last AP College Basketball Top 25. The Cyclone women climbed to ninth this week in the AP poll. The Iowa women fall to number 25 after a loss at Michigan, and Iowa's Caitlin Clark is the Big Ten Player of the Week after hitting on a career-high 46 in the loss to the Wolverines last night. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Waverly Utilities has the perfect internet plan for you. We're not kidding around about this. Waverly Utilities internet plans are truly the cat's meow. And you're sure to find the perfect one to keep you happy while streaming, gaming, video chatting, working from home, and more. Visit WaverlyUtilities.com for an internet upgrade today.
Making life better, making life easy, Waverly Utilities.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach MindLinks.
I'm Karen Rowe. I'm the executive director for the House of Hope. When I first met Heather, I was at a place of growth in my career. I was able to ask Heather some basic questions that she was so willing to help me open up new possibilities. Heather is really great because she helps me clear out the weeds when I'm working through something. She's really good at asking the right questions that doesn't solve my problems, but helps me get to the right answer quicker. Working with her specifically is really great because she's not just telling you things, she has lived the things that she is telling you.
Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have.
How confident is Anderson Collision in Cedar Falls about their work? How about a lifetime warranty on their repair work? Confident? Impressive, huh? This is just one of the many ways Anderson Collision stands apart from the competition. And best of all, they know what they're doing. Owner Jamie Earhart has 25 years of experience in the business. Plus, they have certified estimators and technicians, continuously staying up to date on all the latest techniques and trends in the industry. Anderson Collision in Cedar Falls.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. Talking a lot of hoops today on the show. And the UNI men's basketball team riding high. They're just a half game behind first place Loyola Chicago in the Missouri Valley Conference regular season championship race. And Ben Jacobson met the media today. I had the hard hitters lined up for Coach Jake. So let's hear what he had to say about his Panther team. And we'll start with his film review of that overtime win against the Drake Bulldogs. Coach, what did you see on film that stuck out?
Two or three things that really jumped off the film, Cole, what Taiwan did. I think we talked a little bit about that after the game, but what he did in that game was big time. His activity level, in the first game, look, and Sturt still got 11 rebounds, right, in this one, but he got one offensive rebound, and I think it was really late. In the one here, I think he got five offensive rebounds, right? And I think going into the game that Taiwan took that as a real challenge. We watched film of it, obviously, getting ready for it, and we challenged Ty a little bit, and I think he took that personal, and so he had a terrific game. Second, Noah's play, and I know that was we were sitting next to each other in the post game, and I know we talked about it a lot, but his play, being able to get that basketball into spots where he was going to have a shot right at the rim where he's going to get fouled. The physicality that he played with. And then we did a better job on just some scouting things. They really hurt us and took advantage of some things, and give him credit for that in the first game. Our guys took away a handful of possessions that we didn't take away in the first game. And those ended up making a real difference. If those go different, Drake's got a 6 to 8 point lead, going down the stretch. If we don't take away some of those possessions that they got in the first game.
And also asked Coach Jacobson, hey, you look back over a 2-0 week and weeks prior, we've talked a lot about defense and how if you guys want to accomplish your goals, the defense has to still improve in a decent amount. Do you feel like this past week was a step forward for your defense?
Yeah, the last three games now, it feels like we have made made and taken a good step forward. We did some things as I just talked about from a scouting standpoint. We took some things away, and that's an important part of it. But our communication and our just digging in and and having it be more of a priority maybe is a decent way to describe it. I think going back before that, Cole, I talked about, there comes a point where it's not about getting another rep at practice. It's not about watching it on film again. Like, there comes a point where you've got to start making it happen, right? You've got to decide that you're going to do something better. You're going to do something different. Or you're going to dig in and get a stop. Like, it feels like that's started to, that's taken place here over the last three games.
You heard Coach Jake mention in the first clip I played Taiwan Pickford and how impactful he was in the win on Saturday. And you look back over the past three, four games, and Pickford and fellow sixth-year senior Trey Burhau. Trey's a sixth-year senior, I think. Taiwan's in his fifth year because he didn't redshirt, so shame on me for that. But anyways, they're playing really good basketball right now, and I asked Coach Jacobson, you know, what do you think's key to that? Is it, you know, the veterans knowing how to keep their body intact throughout the grind of the schedule? What do you think is going into those guys being in top form right now?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, what you mentioned, but I think maybe a bigger part is their experience. You know, and really all of it. You know, they were, you know, obviously a big part of the championship team 2 years ago, right? And it, when you get to this point, when you get to early February, and you're, you know, where we are right now, you know, we're in the mix to win a regular season championship. I think some of those experiences, you know, you start to feel some of that as a player, and you start to lean on some of that as a player. And I think Trey's played great. I think Ty's coming off his best game, and he's played good recently, but I think his best game. So I think probably more of that, Cole, than you know, managing their bodies, or just kind of, I think it's more about where we're at right now, what our team has done, what we are doing, in the mix for a conference championship, and those guys having been a part of that team 2 years ago like that, I think they're just leaning on their experience and understanding what it takes each night, right? To not jump ahead, and you know, we've got a game Wednesday, right? I've spent just part of the last minute or two talking about the bigger picture with championship and the regular season championship, but those guys, they understand that it's what happens tomorrow at practice and then what happens on Wednesday. Like, that's, and then when I talk about experience, that's a big part of it, right? Having that understanding that it's really about how we practice, and that's been better too.
I also asked Coach Jacobson, hey, you guys haven't turned the ball over much this season, but 16 times against Drake on Saturday, also had some turnover issues against Drake in the first matchup. How much of that is just, hey, tip your cap to an aggressive Drake defense versus, okay, we got to get in the film room, we got to clean some of this stuff up. AJ Green had 4 turnovers in that Drake win on Saturday, kind of didn't look like himself at times, and Coach Jacobson had a lot to say about it, so this will be our last clip. I want to get this in, though.
Yeah, both. You know, Drake is their activity level is really high, right? And their experience is really high. And so they cause teams problems, right? Ours and others, right? They're really good at that end. You know, with what they're doing, and when they decide to go and trap a ball screen, when they in that full court, when they trap you and press you, like, they're that's an area where they're good, and so they make it hard for you. And then on the other side of it, yeah, we've got to continue to learn from those. You know, there's, you know, a handful of those 16. I think we had 4 in the first half, and I think we were pretty good, you know, throughout the course of the second half. Right, some of those showed up late. So two things. One, just doing a better job when we're in that spot. And then late game, doing a better job. Okay? So we worked on some stuff again today. getting trapped. We worked on some late game stuff. You know, we're going to, you know, we keep working at that every day. Because there's been a lot of times, you know, a lot of times where we get so much out of it, and AJ does such a good job when he's got 2 on him. We get so much out of it, and he does such a good job, you know. But then when he gets 1 pass deflected or he turns it over once, it's like, oh, and I know you're not implying this, you know, but that feeling of, man, what's he doing? You know how many times he gets the ball out of it, right? I mean, we get so much out of it, and that's the one that doesn't show up in the box score, right? They don't give hockey assists in basketball. Right, I mean, so he gets it out. We play 4-on-3, or we play 3-on-2. Some of the drives that Taiwan had, where we knew, you know, first game when they trapped us late, and I didn't quite have Taiwan in the right spot in that first one. Well, we knew they were going to either show and drag out with 2, or they were going to trap him. And AJ gets it out to him. So now Ty's driving downhill. He gets the 1 layup. He gets another one. You know, he gets a couple of those where he's driving right at the basket. So the majority of the time, we're winning when they put two on AJ, and we all know that and understand that. He's done it so much for our team, and it's but he's the great thing about it. He's already been in watching film, and he's already watched them all, and he's already talked through them all, so he always wants to see it. He always wants to know how, you know, what should I have done, you know, what could I have done to get it out of that time so it didn't get tipped or it didn't turn it over. So, but I mean, you're right on. Like, if we turn it over 9 times, you know, we probably got a decent lead coming down the stretch, right? And I'm sure they've got one or two things where they're saying, if we'd have done this, we would have had a nice lead down the stretch. It was that kind of game, right?
I thought that was really good stuff from Coach Jacobson there on that turnovers issue that popped up a little bit in two of those Drake games. So that's a wrap on the Coach Jake audio for today. Got to take this last time out, NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We come back, wrap up a Monday edition of the show right after this.
I'm Steve Weissman with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Super Bowl week is upon us, and the Dolphins have hired the man they hope can help lead them to the next Super Sunday. Miami named Niners offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel as their new head coach. McDaniel helped lead an innovative offense in San Francisco that put up the third most yards per play in the entire league. Meantime, a potential last-minute surprise in the Texans head coaching search. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport says Houston interviewed its current defensive coordinator, Lovie Smith, for the job on Sunday night. Smith took the Bears to Super Bowl 41 as their head coach in 2006. And new Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson already has the stamp of approval from quarterback Trevor Lawrence. The reigning first overall pick says he's excited to work with Peterson, adding, quote, "He played the quarterback position, so he sees it through my lens more so than a lot of coaches," close quote. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
When it's cold outside, you can dress for it. But when your furnace gives out, hey, a blanket fort can only do so much. So call your local 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll replace your old furnace with a new high-efficiency one. And that beats a bunch of blankets any day. Right now, cozy up to big savings on a complete heating system. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-Hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Yesterday, we got to see some of the NFL's best athletes compete in the Pro Bowl, but the game looked more like two-hand touch than actual football. It's made the Pro Bowl a joke to a lot of fans, but can you really blame the players, though? The NFL added an extra game this year. That's added more damage to players' bodies than normal. The NFL is a lot different, though, than other top sports leagues. NFL contracts have a lot less guaranteed money. That leaves players more vulnerable to injuries. One bad hit, one bad step could cost you millions. Take training camp, for example. Every year you hear about players getting hurt in non-contact drills. That's what happens when you have such explosive athletes moving at full speed. Could the players play a little bit harder without risking injury? I guess they could. But the reality is these players entertain us for a minimum of 18 weeks. They take a beating doing that. So it's hard to say they owe us anything in the Pro Bowl. Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Near historic low rates may be a great reason to refinance, but when matched with an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot, you could be saving money and paying more towards the bottom line. Call a Loan Depot loan officer and ask about our 27-year smart term loan or our 10-year ARM loan. Get a great rate matched with a great loan by calling 866-888-LOAN or visit loandepot.com. At Loan Depot, home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
Psst. Hey, it's me, your dream. What happened, man? We used to be tight. I say it's time we get back together. You and me, your dream, living the van life in a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could start a business. Or build a log cabin. Whatever you want. It's a Mercedes-Benz van, so it's chock full of innovative safety features. All I'm saying is don't forget about me. I mean, I am your lifelong dream. So what do you say? Let's head to the Mercedes-Benz Vans dealership and get that Sprinter.
You are listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6 right here on The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Got to thank John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network Great stuff from John today, like always. And the Cyclones Coaches Corner coming up tonight here on The Fan after 30 minutes of the Zach Gelb Show. So 6:30 to 8, like always, with the Coaches Show. Bill Finley will join, as well as Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard. And then tomorrow night, right here on The Fan, you will get Iowa State Men's Hoops in Morgantown to take on West Virginia. That's a 5 o'clock pregame, so no show for me tomorrow. I'll be back on Wednesday at 5, and that's a 6 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night for Cyclones Mountaineers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have an outstanding Monday night. As I mentioned, back on Wednesday at 5. Listen to Mark Simpson on Maximum Mornings tomorrow morning, 6 to 8. Peace.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.